Hi, welcome to week 5, day 3 of this 8-week growth program. It's been an amazing long time since we started this journey together, and I'm really excited that you are true to the journey and you have committed this long to your own growth. I love the feedback I've gotten so far. People coming to my DM to tell me how the program has really impacted their lives, and it's such an amazing moment for visionaries, because we put our all to communicate wisdom to people because we want to see them elevate and upgrade in their lives. And when they communicate this change, I mean, it is an aha moment. Nothing beats it, like ice cream. Yeah, so I'm really appreciative of everyone who has reached out to me in one way or the other to tell me about how impactful this program has been for them thus far. Yeah, so today, in today's podcast, since I mentioned, you know, that in the coming weeks we'll be talking about execution. So in today's podcast, yes, I forgot to introduce myself. I shouldn't forget to do that. My name is Precious Oguntunde, and as you all know, I love to be called a growth driver. So into this podcast, we will be talking about the importance of accountability in execution. The importance of accountability in execution. We all need accountability. We all need support. We all need someone who can hold us accountable to whatever we have committed to. You might not understand, or you might never have heard of what a support system is, and I'm going to be talking about it in this podcast. A support system can be a medium of accountability for you. So we are all humans. To a degree, we can get so familiar with ourselves, but when we have people who keep us in check, it's easier for us to commit and stay through to the things we have, you know, embarked on our journey to execution. So a support system is the main accountability structure I'll be talking about today. So who is a support system, or what is a support system? The word support means to assist, you know, as you all know from the dictionary. So a support system is a person or a group of people that give practical or emotional support to another person. And research has it that a support system helps you cope better with challenges and gives you a longer and healthier life. I mean, who doesn't want that? So the phrase that no man is an island by John Doe is so true. You know, it expresses the idea that human beings necessarily depend on one another. We are interdependent. It is also good to know that support systems have a positive influence on your physical and mental health. When you commit to a goal, when you commit to something, vision in your heart that you have embarked on, you know, on execution, it is important. I mean, it helps. I'll be sharing my personal, you know, story and experience with you down in this podcast. It is very important to have someone who knows about what you're doing, at least one person who knows about what you're doing. So it's so important. It's so important that you have a support system who can hold you accountable. So in 2017, I interned with a company in Lagos, Nigeria for about 6 months. And if I'm to write about my experience, we'll be here forever. So I'll just say a few things that with respect to having somebody hold you accountable and having a support system, right? So my first month on the job was really tough. I mean, really tough. It was my first time working in a professional environment, so you can understand the drill. So in the first month I really wanted to end the internship, but you know, as time passed by, I gained mastery over the job. I was always so scared about what they were going to scold me about, you know, and all. But I had a couple of people who were my support systems, my friends, my mom, my so I had this person who handed over to me before she left, so I could always reach out to her to say, look, this is how I'm feeling, you know. And she could reason with me and say, oh, this was how I was also feeling. It's not strange, it's not new, right? So they kept me calm, they encouraged me based on their experience, helped me to put things in perspective, and they cheered me up. They listened to me and they also reasoned with me. So on your journey to execution, I would like to tie these two ends together to say that when you commit to something, have a credible person in your life who you love, who loves you, who you respect, who respects you, and who wants to see you shine. Because if you pick somebody as an accountability partner who doesn't really care about your goals or what you're committing to, you'll just be expecting the person to hold you accountable, but the person won't, right? So when you have a conversation with somebody, you say, look, Lois, I'm committing to this process. I want to help 5 people, you know, write their books, you know, something. And this is the training I'm taking. I have to take this course. So I'm committing to this course for about 4 months, and I want you to hold me accountable to see this through. This person is not just a random person. This person has to be somebody who loves you, who respects you, and who you also respect, right? And this person must also be interested in helping you see it through. The person will be there to scold you, rebuke you, support you, tell you nice things when you need to hear it, tell you the rough things when you need to hear it, just to ensure that you pull through. You know that if you don't commit to anybody, there's a high tendency that you get tired and you'll be like, I mean, it was my goal. I can decide not to, right, run it anymore. But when you want to stop and you have somebody holding you accountable, you owe the person an explanation, because the person was sitting carefully and you went yourself to meet the person to say, oh, look, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I want you to hold me accountable. So before you try to give up, trying to tell her, you have to go back to somebody. That's why I mentioned it has to be someone you respect. You have to go back to the person to say, oh, look, this is the reason why I'm not doing this now. This is the reason why I can't hit this timeline, but I'm extending by 1 month. Do you understand? It is very, very important, because yes, as much as we respect ourselves, when we release our words to others, we also hold it in high esteem to say, I don't want to sound like a weakling. I don't want to sound like a joke, right? Because I mean, when you reach out to one person 3 times about holding you accountable and you're not able to see any of it through, it affects your self-confidence, that it affects your self-image, and you don't want to have that. So you respect the fact that somebody is holding you accountable. Do you understand? So it's very important to have somebody who will support you on your journey of execution, who will hold you accountable. And the accountability doesn't just mean that this person will be mean, right? That's why people are like, I don't want to have accountability partners, I don't want anybody standing on my neck. So you have to see the juice in it. The juice in it is that they want to help you commit through to the process. And if you're also someone's accountability partner, this doesn't just mean that you are going to be harsh and tough on this person. This means you're going to give this person all the support they need in your ability or capacity to see their goals through to execution. Right, you understand? So it is so important. No matter how great you are, no man is an island. We all need people to commit to. I have somebody I tell every morning to say, you know what, I dragged myself out of bed to record this podcast, you know, for the people in the IDD growth program. Do you understand? There are a lot of things I commit to, and once I put the word out there, I know that it's no more in me. Like, it's not just me. I can't just say I quit, I'm no longer doing it. I have to explain to the 1, 2, 3 persons I've told that, look, this is what I'm committing to, and I'm no longer committing to it again. And they will ask me, and I will have to give a valid, a genuine, you know, explanation for why I won't be able to do it. So there are a lot of people out to help you. Just allow them help you. Some of us have the wrong notion that nobody wants to help. You know, sometimes we feel we are so strong on our own, but most times it's actually okay for you to allow people to be there for you. You know, if you are going to get things, especially you want to get things through, it's important to allow people help you. And I must tell you the truth, I've dropped a lot of baggage since I started leveraging support systems. Your support system can be your mom, can be your dad, your husband, anybody that loves you, respects you, and is willing to help you see your goals through till the end on the journey of execution. So the key thing is, they have to be so interested. Don't just pick anybody off the streets to be your accountability partner. I've mentioned how that they have to love you, they have to respect you, I'm interested in what you're committing to. So it is so important, and I want to reemphasize it again that as opposed to the general belief that people are not willing to help you, I have found it not to be true most of the time. A lot of people are willing to help you. You just need to let them know how they can help. A lot of people around you are willing to help you. So just relax. Commit to your goals. Let somebody hold you accountable on your journey to execution. It sort of gives you a higher probability of smashing those goals because somebody is holding you accountable. It has been more than 10 minutes of dishing out my experience, wisdom, insights, knowledge about having somebody hold you accountable on your journey to execution. Trust me, it works like magic, right? It works like magic. You'll be glad you reached out to somebody to hold you accountable. You'll be glad you did, because they're going to give you the support that you need to run through your journey of execution. Yay! So I've come to the end of this podcast today, and as I always say, that nothing changes until you change it, until you work with this wisdom, the insights, the knowledge that I've shared in today's podcast, nothing will change. So please commit to your own growth, engage your mind, think of who you can reach out to hold you accountable on any goal that you have committed to, and you will be glad that you did. I love to see you grow. I love to see you upgrade. I love to see you elevate. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to coach you in this 8-week growth program. See you in the next podcast. Have a great day. Bye. Such a delight to welcome you to week 6, day 1 of this growth program. I mean, I can remember when we started in January. I mean, only 6 weeks already. I thank you and I commend you for committing to your own growth, and I'm sure that you have been having an amazing time, a period of stretch on this your journey to execution. So as you all know, my name is Precious Oguntunde, and I love to be called a growth driver. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, that we will be dwelling on the things you need to know on your journey to execution, the things that can help you on your journey to execution. I'm so excited about what I'll be talking about in today's podcast, because it's such a thing that I found so helpful on my journey of execution of any of my goals, right? So in today's podcast, I'll be talking about being open to help on your journey to execution. And I would like to have like a subtopic, because I would like to dwell more on it, and the subtopic will be how familiarity can be an enemy on your journey to execution. So the aim of this podcast is to help you understand and reposition yourself to be open to receive help, right, from people who are closest to you on your journey to execution. I can remember that a lot of times in my life, there will be people around me who can do something for me, but I would rather reach out to strangers. And this is for no other reason but for familiarity, because these people are close to me. And you know, it's what we often call see finish, like the see finish syndrome, you know. You just feel like, is it not my brother? Is it not my sister? Is it not just this my friend, right? But since I learned this, it has helped a great deal, because I've seen that these people are, first off, willing to help me than any stranger outside, because they know me, they love me, and they are willing to commit to my growth as well, right? So that was a game changer for me. And these people are credible enough to help me, but because I feel like they are sleeping with me under the same roof, or we joke around, like, I'm going to reach out to someone else, right? So being familiar can be an enemy on your journey to execution, because the people closest to you will be able to provide support for you out of a place of relationship and love, right? So it is so important for me to address this, because on your journey to execution, it's not a path, usually it's not a path you have treaded before, especially if you're committing to a new, an entirely new goal. So you sit down when you're stuck and feel like, who can help me through this? Then your sister pops up in your mind and you're like, no, let me reach out to someone else. No, don't do that to yourself. Don't be familiar. Familiarity can be an enemy, right? And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines familiarity as the state of knowing and seeing a person so well. So most of the time, I beg your pardon, we get familiar with people who are close to us, our family members and our friends. And in my own opinion, I would define familiarity as an act of downplaying or overlooking the abilities of individuals who are close to you. You know, after all, the word a prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives, on the street he played as a child, is so, so true. My life coach defines familiarity as the act of relating to the container and not the content, right? You understand? Relating to the person than over what the person has to offer. So you might feel like, is that not my friend? Is that not my mom? Is that not my dad I talk to every day? You know, I'd rather reach out to someone else. So you have to stop it. I know you agree with me, because a lot of people find themselves in a place of familiarity. You have to stop being familiar. And the uninteresting thing about familiarity is you might not know that you're engaging in it, except you deliberately sit down to say, why have I not talked to my brother about this? Why have I not talked to this, my dear friend, about this? And I mean, she's into this. Why have I not reached out to her, yeah, to help me? So familiarity will stop you from making the most of your relationships. These people, you have already built a level of love, respect, trust with them. So I feel like they are like the best people who can help you. And they are within your reach. What else do you need? They are within your reach. So it's very important to leverage the relationships we have on our journey to execution to reach out to them for help. There's someone you know that has the ability to help you on your journey to execution. It's either they have the knowledge, or they know somebody who has the knowledge, or they can connect you with somebody who has the knowledge. Do you understand? So it is so important not to be familiar. Have friends that you guys laugh and joke, but because you know what they do, relate to the content as well. Don't just relate to the container, relate to the content. Exchange value, reach out to them for value, exchange value. Your bond becomes stronger that way, because everybody wants to have a sense of impact in the lives of other people, right? So it is so important. I know I say this a lot, right? But I can't overemphasize it. It is really important that you don't get familiar on your journey to execution, so that you can reach out to the people closest to you, the people you have within your reach, to help you during execution. Do you understand? Do you see what I'm saying? So now that you understand what familiarity is, you are most likely already thinking of how you have been engaging it in your life, right? So I am here to tell you to stop it. When you start being familiar, I mean relating to the container over the content, or when you stop being familiar, that is when you stop being in the familiarity zone, now you are related to the content above the container, you begin to see that the relationships that you have with these people get stronger, as I mentioned, because you are giving them a platform to add value to you. And I often say that when value flows from one person to a group of people, or you know, as the case may be, the connection gets stronger because there's a bond of value involved. You know what, most of the time you don't need new relationships in your life. You don't need the relationships you're looking for. You just need to look within your existing relationships and leverage on it. Do you understand? So regardless of how loving you are to a person, or whether they are related to you by blood, if you don't have a value flow from them or to them, they find someone else who does, and they connect more because of the impact of the value. So it interests you to know that people, that because of the connection you have with these people, you don't have to cajole them or beg them to help you, because there is an existing relationship you can leverage, as opposed to someone who you just meet on Instagram and like, hi, my name is Precious, please can you help me with this and that. You might have to send a DM 5 times, you know, putting a gentle reminder, hi I dropped you a message. When you just have somebody close to you who can do the same for you and will pick your call once you reach out to them, do you understand? So you have to start making the most of the relationships you have in your life, the friendships you have, the people you have interacted with. Just send them a message to say, oh, you know, and you have to stop this idea of, I have a lot of people say that, oh, you only reach out to me when you need help. The truth is, you can't be close to everybody on the same level. I mean, there are some friends I've not spoken to in a year or two because of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Everybody's busy with their lives. But if they show up today to say, Precious, look, I need you to help me with something, I won't say, you only reach out to me and help me. Stop that. Don't do that. Do you expect them to check on you every day to say, hi, Precious, good morning, just thought check on you. Hi, Precious, good morning. You don't need that. You have to grow past all this unnecessary emotional attachment. Everybody's busy with their lives. And the fact that they reached out to you speaks to one thing: you're valuable. They thought of a need in their life and they're like, this person can meet my need. That should be enough for you. Don't have this idea that people should always rub your back every time, and they should not just show up out of the blues. You will now say, hi, good morning, how are you doing? Just thought to check on you. When you have something you need, greet them, exchange pleasantries, and go straight to the point. Right? So it's so important. I just thought to mention, because a lot of people have that ideology that when people reach out to me, when they have not reached out to me for a long time, means they just want to use me. They don't want to use you. They are creating a platform for them, for you to add value to their lives. And I mean, that should be a win for you. Do you see? So it's so important that you renew yourself of that mindset that, oh, I won't attend to her because, you know, she only reaches out to me when she needs help. You should be glad to help people. I mean, who's not glad to be a helper? Right? So you should be glad to help people. Do not be familiar. I've mentioned that people are willing to help you than you think. Leverage relationships you already have existing, people you don't have to lobby and beg to help you or support you on your journey to execution. I mean, I believe that I've shaked a lot of tables, right? But you get the point, you get the gist. You will always need help on your journey to execution. It's usually a path you have not trodden before. Yeah? So you get stuck sometimes, you get overwhelmed sometimes, you'll be like, who can help me with this? Then you think, and you're like, I think Lois said she's into, you know, bridals. Let me reach out to her. She might know somebody who can help me style my sister's hair for a wedding. You know, I'm just thinking of things that might not necessarily be goals right now that you're committing to. Or let's even say that you're writing a book and you're looking out for who can help you publish your book. You can say, oh, I know this person has written a book before. Please, hi, good afternoon. Exchange pleasantries and go straight to the point and say, please, can you connect me with the person who published your book for you? I'm currently working on a project, or I'm helping a friend out with something and I need your support. It's as simple as that. And you grow past it. And you have added one more connection to your life. You have moved past the stuck stage of not knowing how to get a publisher. It's just a miracle, if you ask me, to open up to receive help, especially from people who are closest to you, because you can leverage the relationship that you already have with them. There are a lot of wonderful people in your life. If you would just sit down and take track or keep track of the kind of relationships that you have with respect to the needs you have in your life on your journey to execution, and easy peasy, right? You can just jump on it and move to execution. I'm so delighted. It's been over 12 minutes of sharing wonder working insights, shaking tables, causing mind shifts for you, right? On your journey to execution, you need help. You need help. Thank you for staying through right up to now. And as I always say, nothing changes until you change it. Do not wish for change. Make change happen in your life. Work with this wisdom. Think of a place you are stuck on your journey to execution. Think of someone within your reach who can help you. Reach out to them and let the magic happen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and letting me be your growth coach in this 8-week growth program. I do not take it for granted at all. Have a great day ahead. Bye. Welcome to another transformational time and another time of growth. It is such a delight to have you listen to this podcast again. It's been more than 6 weeks, or about 6 weeks, of you hearing my voice, my sonorous, sweet voice. Every time. My name is Precious Oguntunde, and as you all know, I love to be called a growth driver. I want to also believe that you've been having, I would love to say encounters, but what I want to say is you have been having a lot of light bulb moments listening to the podcast and reading, you know, the book. I'm sure you have been making decisions a decision that is already changing your life right now. We already know, and I've learned, that the future is not there. The future is now. We can create the future now. We can create the change we seek to see in our lives right now. So I want to believe that you're already making decisions and actions, taking actions with respect to the change you desire to see in your life. In today's podcast, I want to talk about something very interesting on your journey to execution. So today I'm talking about moving past fear in execution. Moving past fear in execution. Doing things afraid. Sometimes we hear that fear is face everything and run. And sometimes we hear it is face everything and rise. What do we really mean by fear? And what's the impact of fear, right, on our journey to execution? So I don't know what you've ever gotten scared of, but I want to mention a few things I've been scared of in my life. I'm still scared of. So I'm actually scared of syringe. I don't like that thing going through my body. I scream every time it goes through my body. Yeah. I've not had a child before, but I sort of dread it. I'm like, how is that going to happen? How will I have somebody go through me, right? I'm scared of that. Well, maybe a couple of things that might differ for you. Some people are scared of height. Some people are scared of going into water. A lot of things, you know, that we're scared of. But the things I'll specifically speak to today are things around your personal growth and your journey to execution. Treading the path that you have never gone through before, right? So, you know, fear can be destructive or constructive depending on your perception and your response to fear. So because I dread the whole idea of having a baby come through me, does not mean I won't have a baby. I will definitely have babies, all right? So it depends on your response to fear. So fear can cause you to run away or rise to confront. It can cause you to stop doing something or start doing something. It can cause you to procrastinate or act immediately. So choose to perceive fear as a friend on your journey to execution and not the enemy. And the uninteresting thing about fear is that it breeds more fear, because our fear can limit our experience and the knowledge that we can learn from doing the things that we fear or we dread. Do you see? So it's so important to respond to your fear as a friend to push you into doing something and not just, you know, cripple you from doing something that you really want to do. And the truth is that we are all scared of something. George Patton says that if we take the generally accepted definition of bravery as a quality which knows no fear, I have never seen a brave man. All men are frightened. There's something that frightens you. And what you see is that the more you face your fears on your journey to growth, the more you meet more fears and you keep facing fears and, you know, surmounting it and facing fears and surmounting it. I was reading a book by Dale Carnegie, and he says that he was talking about public speaking, and he said that a lot of people look at him as someone who is all that whenever he mounts a stage to speak. But he mentioned that whenever he stands for like the first 1-2 minutes, he always feels, the stage fright kind of thing, even after he has spoken for several years, right? We all have that thing that, you know, still scares us, but we try to move past it, right? And there's a way your mind and fear are intertwined, and I'll be talking about that shortly. So I've mentioned that nobody is immune to fear. Some people have the fear of inadequacy, some have the fear of failure. Some have the fear of what others will say or what others will think, fear of being rejected, you know, and a lot of phobias everywhere. This phobia, that phobia, all phobias, you know, everywhere. So nobody's immune to fear, but our response to fear is key. Please note that your response to fear is key. Your mind and fear are so intertwined. Fear is usually as a result of the programming of your subconscious mind, you know, from our early years right into adulthood. The way you saw things happen and how individuals in your environment responded to situations, you know, experiences, these things you saw consciously or subconsciously informed your mind and built a belief system in you. Okay, so consider this example. I'm going to give you two scenarios. Some group of people will always resist the urge to apply for business grants, scholarships, and all those kind of things because they grew up in an environment where maybe their dad's business grant request was always rejected, or their brother's or elder sister's scholarship was always declined, right? So whenever the thought or conversations around applying for a scholarship, a business grant came to mind, they tend to withdraw in fear, like, it's not gonna work, like, they're not going to pick me, they're going to pick other people, and, you know, let's not just go down that, you know, route, right? So some other people saw in their environment that business grants were always approved, so the fear of rejection wasn't a subject of discussion because their belief system was such that they would definitely grant the business grant, sorry, they would definitely accept the business grant or give it to me, because they have never just seen anybody being rejected based on the environment, how they were informed growing up. So it's just sort of strange for them to fear rejection because they don't even have an idea that rejection exists, right? So we have different things that inform our fears. So this typical example shows that, you know, our background can inform our fears, and some people's background can also inform the kind of courage they have. Do you see? So you can't blame your background, but you can take responsibility for wherever you are to move right now, right? So we can also do a quick analysis. Let's name somebody Mrs. X or Mrs. Y and Mrs. Z. Mrs. Y grew up to see and know that her father cheated on her mother by sleeping with his secretary. She then gets married and doesn't want her husband to have a secretary. and this is because of the fear that he will cheat on her, because her father's secretary cheated, you know, her father cheated on her mom with her father's secretary. So Mrs. Z grew up to know that her father's secretary was always on top of a job and made her father's work easier, and this afforded her dad to have a lot of time, or ample time, to spend with his family. So she gets married and she's like, Pusby, you have to get a secretary. Do you see that? Two different things have informed these people based on their background. It is the programming in their mind based on the background that is informing their fears. You know, fears not just hang around and say, oh, this is me. No, it has roots in the way our mind has been programmed, the way our belief system has been set up. So we now have to deliberately say, why am I scared of this thing? Because if you don't deal with the root cause, you just be treating the surface, and whenever you have that kind of situation, you get back in that cycle of fear and not being able to move past it. So for example, I want to talk about root cause right now. A husband who is time conscious and a wife who is not time conscious, and they get to have a lot of heated up arguments that you never keep to appointment, you are always late, and the wife is like, I'm trying my best, you know, and they have that cycle over and over again. The truth is, most likely the way the lady grew up was not in an environment that moved her to be time conscious, as it were, and the man must have learned time consciousness, or must have been taught time consciousness, that it's already part of him. So this man has to be patient with this lady, because she's not going to change in a day, regardless of how he nags, he scolds her and all. He has to be patient while she's going through the transformation. So the subject of fighting every time will not show up if he comes to accept that, look, the root cause is this. This is how she's been programmed for more than 25 years, and I can't just come to, you know, move a magic wand to change her in a day or in a week, what she learned in 25 years. So I have to be patient with her while she's trying to change. Right, you see, so it has a lot of things to do with our belief system, how we have learned and how we have grown, which we now have to take responsibility of now that we are adults. So one major way I would like to talk about, or I would like to mention, that helps you subdue fear or overcome fear is to act, to do it afraid. You have to do it afraid. You want to start a business, you want to scale your business, you want to register your business, you want to reach out for a grant, you want to mention it, what have you. You have to do it afraid. I can't count the things I've done afraid. I'll just write it, do it, talk to the person, reach out to the person. Yes, I might get a no, but I still do it. Because in the process of doing, you learn. In the process of doing, you learn. In the process of doing, you learn. Vannevar Bush says that fear cannot be banished, but it can be calmed and without panic. It can be mitigated by reason and evaluation. Do not avoid your fears. Face it. Doing it afraid simply means that you face your fear. You act despite the fear you're feeling. You're not denying that there's a fear. Yes, you agree that there's a fear, but you move past fear of execution by doing. I've mentioned how it is so important. It's a miracle. You learn by doing. You learn by doing. Regardless of how afraid that you are, you have to learn by doing. We all want things to be perfect, but you have to understand that perfection is the enemy of getting started. Perfection is the enemy of getting started. So you can always remember now, let me state that there's a line between perfection and excellence. Excellence is an attempt to perform a task in the best possible way, right? Perfection is the definitive 100% right way of doing anything. I don't know who has that. Right? So perfection is the enemy of getting started. Move, start doing something, do it afraid. You want to do, I don't know what's in your mind, I don't know the goals you have, right? But it's because you have not gone through that path before. So it's okay that you're scared that what if. So can you change all your what ifs to being optimistic? I'm not saying you shouldn't be realistic. I'm saying be optimistic. Jump on it. And if it doesn't go down well, it is one or two things. It doesn't go down well and you have learned. You have learned a better way to do something. So do not just wait for perfection. Do it afraid. I was in a conference in 2019, and you know, the knowledge and wealth of experience of the panelists was was just there, you know, was just amazing. And one thing I picked from each of these panelists, even after their 15, 20 years doing great and amazing stuff, they still do things afraid. They still do things afraid. They're like, anytime they want to jump on something, they're like, will this thing work? But regardless, they keep doing things afraid. They keep doing things afraid. So I came to this conclusion that fear never ends or stops. It keeps showing up in different phases. As you climb up the ladder, different seasons, different levels of growth in your life. So the major thing to ensure is to face your fears and do things afraid. Face your fears and do things afraid. It's been more than 14 minutes of sharing workable and wonder working insights with you. I believe that you've learned a lot and you are heated up and motivated to face whatever fear you have right now, whatever you are stuck on this, your journey to execution. Face it, you can do it. I'm here rooting for you. Thank you for listening to me and giving me the privilege to be your coach in this 8-week growth program. I'm so delighted to do it. I'm doing it from my heart with so much commitment to your growth. Have a great day ahead. Bye. Hi. Welcome to another time of personal transformation and growth. Welcome to week 7, day 1. I'm recording this podcast with so much excitement of how far we have come together on this journey of growth. And I hope you're as excited as I am, because I mean, we say it's not beans to start from week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7. No, I should clap for myself and also clap for you, you know, staying through and committing to this journey together. My name is Precious Oguntunde, and as you all know, I love to be called a growth driver. We are wrapping things up, you know, on the journey to execution, and in the 8th week, we'll be talking a lot about how you should celebrate yourself and what you have become or who you have become, you know, on this journey. Yeah, so in today's podcast, I'll be talking about measuring your progress on the journey to execution. Measuring your progress on the journey to execution. So, whatever measurement you have in your head, you want to make a cloth, a dress, you have been measured, you have been asked what your size is, you know, all of that also speaks to measurement. But what I'll be talking about today, or how we are tailoring that into this personal growth measurement, is that you have to set a standard, a scale to measure how far you have grown and become on your journey to execution, right? Because I don't know who doesn't like it or who didn't like it. Maybe you no longer like it. But growing up, I personally always looked forward to prize giving day, collecting my results, my dossier, taking it home to my parents to just show them how I've made them proud, you know, and all. We have 4 months in a term or in a semester, and you just want to feel like, this is the result after 4 months.
Do you just want to go to school and there's nothing to track your progress? You just want to go to school year one and year five and they're like, oh yeah, take your certificate. No. Just in the same vein, right? You want to see how far you have come in a month, in two, in three, in four. You want to see what you've done. You want to be able to track your progress. And on your journey to personal growth, there's no institution that is measuring your progress, right? You have to sit down to create a scale of progress measurement such that you can say, oh, I've done this well. Oh, this is who I used to be, and this is who I've become based on intentional growth in 2 months, in 3 months, in 4 months. Do you understand? It is so important. We all love it. And I mean, apart from loving it, it's just the way we are wired as humans. We all love to see results in our lives. We all love to celebrate how we smash goals. It's just what it is. Yeah, it's just what it is. But what I want to speak to is output versus outcome. In my book titled Grow, I mentioned it in the 7th chapter of the book in the last section to talk about how to measure your growth, output versus outcome. And I will explain this shortly in this podcast. One of the things that keep you on track on your journey to accomplishing your goals is measuring your progress. Measuring your progress keeps you focused on your goal and also keeps you driven. It keeps you driven to follow through till the end. Because there's a way you can say that, oh, I want to start gyming, I want to lose 5 pounds, I want to lose 10 pounds, and you do that for like 4 months and nothing happens. Can you just be honest with me? What will you do? How will you feel? If you ask me, and if I was to answer you, if somebody must have told me that, look, Precious, after you gym for like consistently and religiously for about 4 months, you have the tendency to lose at least 5 pounds, right? I'm like, oh, somebody has told me, and I think this person is credible, so let me commit to it. After 4 months, and I don't even lose 2 pounds, trust me, I'm going to first stop because I'm already discouraged. I'm going to first stop it, then go back to the drawing board, or go back to the person and say, is it that something is wrong with me or this thing doesn't work, right? So there's a way you can lose energy, the bite, the drive, if you don't pause or take time to measure your progress and celebrate your journey. So it is essential to track your progress, and most of us are actually always looking for outputs measured in numbers, and we often shrink and feel bad when we can't measure our progress in numbers. Like, you can't say you want to stand on a scale and you're 60 kg or 40 kg. Like, how do I measure my progress? There's no skill to measure my progress. I've come to help you into this podcast. The truth is that we cannot accurately measure our personal growth in numbers, right? Which is why I'll clearly explain the place of output and outcomes as a means of tracking your progress. I feel like I don't have to over explain output because I've mentioned how that it is in numbers, and you can see that through a measuring skill. When you stand on it to check your weight and you see that you're 65 kg, 40 kg, 45 kg, what have you. Yeah. So your output, for example, using a tangible experience, will be that a person has committed to writing a blog, and the frequencies that the person writes one post monthly. So at the end of 3 months, the person is excited, oh, I've written 3 posts, right? That's output, is measurable. You can say, oh, I wrote 3 posts. You know, you can even go and check your stats, the analytics, and see that, oh, 100 people read my post, 200 people viewed it, 50 people liked it, you know, 70 people reposted. You can have all those and you're like, oh yeah, I'm doing well for myself. All right, But to now talk about that can be, you know, the output, and yeah, which is also, you know, which is also good. But I'm just, the reason why I have to talk about outcomes is because you can't always have a scenario where you can measure your growth in numbers. So let's talk about outcomes. Outcomes will now speak to the growth you experienced while you're writing the blog. So for example, if you committed to writing the post every Saturday, 6 a.m., that's how you start your day. Writing, taking 2-4 hours to write and come up with a post. In the first month, it must have been so difficult because maybe it was something you were not used to. Then in the third month, you find yourself even waking up before the alarm wakes you up. Maybe your alarm is 6 a.m. You wake up 5:45 to start writing the post. It shows you that you have grown in the discipline of committing to the timeline, which is a measure of growth, because it is that measure of growth that keeps you, that even helps you to have the output in the first place. Your outcomes are what you become in the process of having your outputs. If that English is not if it's not confusing at all, right? Your outcome is the person who you become on your process of having or creating an output. So before you can have 3 blog posts, you have to sit down to write it. Sitting down to write it involves a lot of discipline, which you might not have had when you started, right? But as you continued, you pressed on, you dragged yourself out of bed, you engaged reading materials, going on a knowledge quest so that you can have content, you know, to create and your post, you know, and all. That is an outcome, who you are becoming. And the truth is, nobody can take what you have become from you. Even if it's possible that you might not have the same output every time, but who you have become stays with you forever. It's what they call building yourself to last, such that the outcome that has created this output has come to stay, such that it can create much more for you, even when you're committing to a goal that differs from the one you have at the moment. So your outcomes is who you become on the process of generating your input. So sit down to say, what things have I learned or have I become in the process of having this output, of losing this weight, of, you know, things you can measure in output. There's an outcome that creates an output. So if, for example, you can't tangibly measure your output, sit down to write what your outcomes are, who you are, who you have become in the process of committing to this goal, of committing to this and that, right? So it is so important. And when you sit down to track, you journal, you write it down to say, when I say I want to sit down for 1 hour, it's very difficult for me to sit down and read for 1 hour, but now I can do it. It is a measure of growth. It's your outcome, and it is worth celebrating. It is worth celebrating. So that is what I want to speak to. So if you have been having difficulty in measuring or tracking your progress because you can't do that in numbers, I've come to tell you, you can do it in sentences. You can write who you have become or who you are becoming on your journey. If you started on the 1st of January 2021 to say you want to do this and that, you can say, oh, in March or in February, I'm going to sit down to see who I've become in this process. And that, as I've said, is what will never leave you. Your outcome is what stays with you forever, and that you can always improve on. Do you understand? It's been over 10 minutes of distilling wisdom to you with all my energy and heart. This is what I see in my life. This is what I use and I have found so useful, and that's why I'm sharing with you from my heart. I hope that you jump on it and start making use of this knowledge. And as you know, I often say that nothing changes until you change it. Create the change that you seek to see. Have a great day. See you in the next podcast. Bye. Hi, welcome to week 7.
day 3 of this I Did It growth program. Welcome to another time of personal growth and transformation. I'm so delighted to be doing this with you, even as we are, you know, wrapping up in this growth program. It's been an amazing time of sharing insights with you all, and I feel so privileged to be doing that, and I thank you very much for the opportunity to do this with you. We will be wrapping up with the insights on execution in this week and in this podcast, you know, today. And I want to believe that the insights that has been shared with you in the past 4 weeks on execution has been so helpful for you on your journey. In today's podcast, I would like to share with you something that is so peculiar to me, dear to my heart, and is simply my message. You know, when I communicate with people, I want to help them see that growth is possible. So in today's podcast, I will be talking to you on imbibing the growth mindset during execution. Imbibing the growth mindset during execution. If you're very conversant with me, maybe you read my posts, you've read my book, you know that I am a fan, or how I preach about the importance of the mind in your journey of growth. And today I'll be talking about how it is so important to imbibe the growth mindset on the journey to execution. I mentioned in the last podcast that usually when you are executing, it's most likely a path you have not trodden. It's something new to you, and so it's okay for you not to have all the expertise, the knowledge, the understanding to reach the goal, right? But you have to know that you are not an inanimate object that cannot expand or that lacks the ability to grow. You are a living being, a living creature that has unlimited capacities and abilities, right? So it is so important for you to have this at the back of your mind, such that when you get to a point during execution and you're like, oh, I don't know how to do this, it is a no. I call it a not yet and not a no. You understand this shortly in this podcast. If you have ever heard of the growth mindset theory by Dr. Carol Dweck, who is an American psychologist and the author of the book Mindset: The New Psychology of Success, I recommend this book for anyone who has understood the importance of the mind and is willing to, you know, channel your mind, or who is willing to channel their mind to produce higher results in their lives. If you know Dr. Carol Dweck well and you understand the growth mindset theory, you already have an idea of what I mean by no versus not yet. Okay, so when I say no, let me cite or paint a scenario of a little child, a 3-year-old, asking his mom to give him candy, and his mom is like, no, I won't give it to you. And the child is all like, maybe the child starts being grumpy, crying, screaming. If you have naughty cousins around you, you understand what I mean. Yeah. Or let's imagine that the child goes to meet his mom and say, hi mom, I want some candies. And his mom is like, I'll give it to you, but not yet. There's a difference between these two. There's a huge difference between these two. But either way, the child is not getting it at that time. No means you are not getting it at all. Not yet means you are still gonna get it, but you're not getting it now. Do you see? So the no is the fixed mindset, and the not yet is a growth mindset. Not yet speaks to the fact that I might not have it now, I might not have all the resources now, I might not have everything it takes now, but I'm gonna get it. it's such a mindset you should adopt in execution. If you understand this very clearly, you won't feel bad when you don't know something. You won't feel like, let me just give up, I don't think I'm getting a hang of it. No, you will still get a hang of it, you will still do it, but you don't just have all it takes to do it now. You will grow into it, you understand it, you learn it, you reach out to somebody, you read a book, you research, you do something. It's a not yet mindset. It's a growth mindset. It's not a no, it's not a fixed mindset. To ensure that we are on the same page, you know, I'll explain further. The no mindset is likened to a fixed mindset, as I've said, and the fixed mindset is such that you see your personal qualities as a fixed trait that cannot change. And people who have fixed mindsets believe that their talent is enough to lead them to success. They believe that being excellent or being poor at something is an inherent nature. The not yet mindset, on the other hand, is likened to the growth mindset. A person who has a growth mindset believes that intelligence, skills, expertise, finesse can be developed through effort and deliberate improvement strategies. I sort of feel like you are already understanding what I mean, because I'm already nailing, you know, the point. Right, no teaches you to stop and give up, while not yet shows you that there are possibilities ahead of you, the power of possibilities, and there's a large room for improvement, which would definitely lead you to a yes. Right, so on the journey of success, you really find a path that leads from a no to a yes. The path is usually a not yet to a yes. Right. And I'll just like to briefly, you know, in my book, I also mentioned it, how we're taught to think from childhood. And a practical illustration I would like to share is from the educational sector. In my days of elementary education, I was quite good. I mean, I wasn't doing bad. And I was oftentimes like among the top 5 students in my class. And we grew up, if you schooled around here, right, in this part of the world, you know that if you're like the top 5, top 10 in class, you have all the attention from the teachers. You know, you could either be the class rep, the class captain, you know, a subject captain, have access to go for competitions, prizes, you know, and all, right? We're made to see that, or believe that, those children or those of our mates, our colleagues in class who were not doing so well, were vagabonds, were unserious people, nuisances, you know, and all, who didn't have a future. I mean, we felt we were better than them. Like, who are you? You're just an unserious element, right? But I believe right now, in retrospect, that this mindset is very unfair and is wrong. Because these thoughts have been coming to my mind over and over again, and I seek to address it soon. Anyways, we were very young at the time. We were within the range of 4 years and 10 years. We wouldn't have known so much. Yeah. And I know some of those my classmates that used to do poorly then and are doing so well right now in their lives and with their life. So I believe that the educational sector should pay close attention to these students who are not doing so well, because they are in their formative years and they need all the help they can get, rather than condemning them. The teachers need to understand that knowledge can be transferred to some students easily than some other students. So teachers are expected to deal with students accordingly. Let's paint a scenario of 2 7-year-old pupils who are in basic 3, who wrote exams. One had 85% and another had 42%. The typical culture, which is the no culture, will say that the pupil with the lower grade was unserious and cannot get an 85%. While the soon-to-be-adopted culture, which is the growth mindset, will say, let's carefully observe the reason this pupil had a low grade and ask questions like, did you understand the subject well enough? Were the questions too complex for you? Did you study for the examination? What major difficulty did you have during the examination? You know, and a whole lot of stuff. These questions will help for information and discovery, such that the teacher can know how to help the student in future. And I strongly believe that if these things are addressed, the child that had 42% can come up to have 90%. So I don't know the category of pupils you belong to in school, right? But regardless of where you are, who you are, where you are at, you are living. You have the capacity to expand. You have the capacity to grow. It's a not yet. It's not a no. So you don't have to give up. And it's so important that now we have to, I call it mindset reengineering. That's the chapter 6 of my book. I call it mindset reengineering. Yeah. You have to reengineer your mind. You have to work on your mind deliberately to start realigning your thoughts to believe higher things, that you are not stuck where you are. Right? You can expand, you can move, you can grow. George Bernard Shaw says that life isn't about finding yourself, it is about creating yourself. It's about creating yourself. You can expand, you can grow, you can come into higher possibilities and higher places in your life. So I believe that the state of the mind has a lot to do with our becoming and our being. Yeah, so the setting of the mind could have been based, your own setting of the mind, your fixed mindset could have been, you know, how, I mean, consider the scenario I just painted about how we were taught to think, right? So re-engineering your mind or shifting your mind to believe the reality you desire is a conscious effort, right? It would take you from a place of believing less or believing that you can't move to a place of saying, okay, now I know I don't have it yet, but I can move. What can I do to have it? That's what the growth mindset, you know, says. So when you say you want to commit to a particular goal, you want to start the business, but you're like, I don't know how to, that is a not yet. That's not a no. That doesn't mean, oh, since I don't know how to start a business, I'm not going to start. No, it means now I have to seek knowledge on how to start a business, on how to run a business, on how to scale a business, right? Whatever it is you are working on, yeah, on your journey to execution, it is so important for you to understand, imbibe it in your mind, let it be so strong in you that whenever an obstacle comes which is challenging your knowledge, challenging your experience, challenging your resources, don't feel like, oh, okay, this is it, I can't do it anymore. Feel like, okay, I don't have it yet, but I will have it. Just, I can say it over and over again, you have the ability to expand, you have the ability to grow, you have the ability to grow. So on your journey to execution, you have the ability to grow. It's been over 12 minutes of sharing wonder working insights with you, and I believe that your mind is already shifting. You will now start making a commitment to re-engineering your mind. So the fact that you are not limited by any inherent nature, you can grow, you can expand, you can improve, right? You can grow. So I thank you very much for this opportunity once again. And I believe that you'll be making use of this insight I've shared with you. As I always say, that nothing changes until you change it. Do not wait for change to happen. Create the change you seek to see in your life. Create the change you seek to see in the world. Thank you very much. Have a great day ahead. Bye. I'm recording this podcast with so much joy, so much excitement, so much, I don't know the words, because words fill me right now to express the joy and the delight in my heart of how far we have come together on this journey. Welcome to week 8, day 1. Are you as excited as I am? I'm so happy. That's just the word. I'm really happy about this. I'm happy about how far we have come together on this journey. Welcome to another time of personal growth and transformation. My name is Precious Okuntunde, and as you all know, I love to be called a growth driver. In today's podcast and in this week, as the final week of this growth program, we'll be talking a lot about celebrating yourself and who you have become on this journey. Yeah. So in today's podcast, I'll be talking about celebrating yourself. I find it to be very common not to celebrate yourself in this part of the world. When you hear people celebrating themselves, you feel like, oh, isn't he proud? Why is he celebrating himself? But we find it very convenient, easy, sane, reasonable to celebrate other people. Whew. After this podcast, you won't be doing that anymore. You are the big deal. I wanted to say you are the liquid metal, but then I mean you are the big deal. You are the whole big deal. You are the 1 million yards. You should love yourself. You know, I spoke about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. You should love yourself enough to celebrate yourself. I mean, you have put in the work. You have put in the sleepless night. You took your time to plan, to set your goal, to create an action plan, to stick on, you know, and with the process. You committed to your growth. I mean, if not for anything, for these 8 weeks, come on. You should celebrate yourself. You should celebrate who you have become on the journey. Because, I mean, it's not beans. I'm celebrating myself as well because I committed to your growth in 8 weeks and I was able to stick through to the process. Come on, precious. Come on. That's what I want you to do with yourself and for yourself. And I don't want you to just do it now. I want you to adopt the culture of celebrating yourself. When you commit to something, you commit to a process, you commit to a goal, you commit to a task, you commit to an action plan, and you're able to see it through, please celebrate yourself. Because, I mean, think about the times that it was not easy for you to do it, but you still did. Think about the times that you couldn't make it to the review by 8 p.m., but you still made up for it, and you still dropped the review at night. You dropped the review the next day. You communicated with your support coach. You say, look, my phone is bad. I don't have internet. I'm unable to come this night. You know, those things that felt like they were going to stop you, but you move past them. I mean, that's some grit, some resilience, some energy right there, which has to be celebrated. I've come to learn in my life, as much as is very good, you know, you feel very happy when people celebrate you, especially on your birthday. I feel like I celebrate myself more than anybody does. Because first off, I know myself, I know my journey, I know the work I've put in, I know what I have done. Yeah, people might say, oh, hi, Miss Precious, happy birthday, thank you for all you do. Yes, I celebrate that and I appreciate it. But I won't just wait for that, such that when nobody celebrates me, I feel bad, like, have I not been important in the world? Have I not helped anybody? No, I know the work I've put in, so it's okay and valid for me to celebrate myself. It's okay to say, Precious, you know what? I'm taking you out today. You've been simply amazing. I mean, you've put in the work. You've put in the hard work. Look at the results. Look at how you have come. Look at the lives you have impacted, right? So I want you to do the same in your business or in whatever it is you have committed to. Do not wait till you have $1 million. Do not wait till you feel like people should post you on social media or give you a shout out. Give yourself a shout out. Place that kind of premium on yourself. Celebrate yourself. It helps your mindset. It helps the way you view yourself. It helps your self-image. In fact, let me let you know and let me tell you this for free. It impacts the way other people respond to you because they feel like, this girl thinks she's a big deal. Maybe she's a big deal. Do you understand? Don't wait for people. Don't wait for people to celebrate you. Don't base your happiness, your commendation, your celebration on how people think or perceive you. Don't you have a perception of yourself? If you don't, you have to sit down to say, write all your strengths, everything you have done, all the things you are proud of. If you feel like you want to start since you're a child or since you were a child, I beg your pardon, write it. Affirm yourself, love yourself, celebrate yourself, because nobody will do it like you will do it for yourself. Anybody who is going to celebrate you based on who they are, not who you are. Do you understand? If you celebrate me because I committed to your growth in this process, I'm many things much more than this program.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate me, don't get me wrong. But I just want you to see that you shouldn't wait for people to celebrate you. As much as that is good and very awesome and how we love it, celebrate yourself. It releases endorphins. There's this hormone called endorphins that keeps you excited and motivated in life. Do you understand? I feel like sitting down on this till you get it. I can't overemphasize how it is so important to love yourself and celebrate yourself. I mean, you just executed something. Sit down, take yourself out, buy yourself nice things, treat yourself to something very beautiful. You deserve it. You really do. I hope you understand. So do not wait. Do not feel like, oh, what's my fiancé gonna buy me for my birthday? Oh, he didn't get me anything. That means maybe I'm not worth so much. You are worth a lot. There might be so many restraints or constraints on why the person could not get you the birthday gift of your dreams. The person might have financial constraints. The person might have geographical constraints. The person might even be going through a tough time at the period. Can you just cut them some slack and celebrate yourself? And don't feel so emotional about people not celebrating you. Yes, you know, they should. We all want to be celebrated once in a while, but I mean, learn to celebrate yourself. You deserve beautiful, sweet, and comfortable things. In my own words, you deserve to be spoiled. You deserve to be pampered. I love to enjoy myself, and one thing that helps me to do this is being intentional about it. Sometimes you just get caught up with working, going here and there, planning, executing, you know, in cycles, that you even forget that, man, I'm doing so much for myself, right? So it is so important. It is so important. And I advise you strongly to celebrate yourself. And the process of celebrating yourself, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Enjoyment means different things to different people. I mean, you will agree with me. Some people count as fun. Some other people don't find it to be fun. I like to share my experience, but should I not? Okay, I had the opportunity to visit Tarkwa Bay in Lagos, Nigeria, and being in or on Tarkwa Bay was actually a beautiful experience. You know, I love the feel, the smell of the beach, everything, right? But getting to Tarkwa Bay was the problem. I mean, we were in a speedboat, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I felt it was dangerous. I mean, we were just in a boat that was powered by one person. What if that person, I mean, different things were coming to mind. What if that person suddenly has a stomach hurt or pain? What if the person just falls up? Or what if the person is epileptic? I mean, I was just thinking of different things. Like, once this person loses control of this, I mean, that's it. So I don't find that interesting. Another person might, but I mean, Precious doesn't find that interesting at all. So enjoyment means different things to different people. Enjoyment may mean for you going on vacation. You know, it might mean trying out new delicacies. It might mean checking your friends out. I mean, I enjoy time out with my friends. Nothing beats it for me. You know, having a personal quiet time in an exquisite, you know, hotel, 5-star hotel, something, whatever it is enjoyment means for you, please go for it. You deserve to be spoiled. You deserve to be pampered. You deserve to be loved by yourself, because nobody can actually do it like you do. Imagine that you're writing a birthday wish list. Only you know what you want. So why not give it to yourself if you can, right? So what you notice is, as your financial capacity increases, you also have the luxury of spoiling yourself much more. And trust me, you won't always be where you are. You keep improving, you keep increasing financially, and you expand your capacity to spoil yourself and pamper yourself much more. It is so necessary for me and important for me to share this insight with you. After walking through this 8-week journey, week 1,
week 1 day 1 week 1 day 2 week 1 day 3 week 1 day 4 week 1 day 5 week 2 day 1 week 2 day 3 week 2 day 4 week 2 day 5 down to week 8 day 1. Come on. It's not let me say it's not easy. I mean, you deserve a lot of accolades. Yes, I'm giving some to you, but it's very important that you give yourself those accolades as well. Rate yourself, celebrate yourself, and this helps you elevate. It elevates your self-image. It really does. I find this so interesting, and I feel relieved to have shared this with you, because a lot of people need to know that they should celebrate themselves. They shouldn't wait for other people to celebrate them. People should celebrate you, fine, but you, the onus is on you to celebrate yourself. It's been over 12 minutes of sharing wonder-working insights with you, and I feel so emotional because this is going to be the second to the last podcast I will be sharing with you in this I Did It growth program. Thank you for this opportunity. I thank you very much for taking your time to listen. As I always say, nothing changes until you change it. Nothing changes until you change it. Create the change you seek to see in the world. Do not wait for it to happen to you. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye. It's the final podcast, because we still have one more day tomorrow. Welcome to the final podcast. This will not be the last of my voice you'll be hearing, but I mean, this growth program. All right, welcome to week 8 day 3. I feel like jumping, literally, because it's been a long time coming, you know, walking you on this journey of growth. I commend your commitment, your grit, your resilience to this growth process. It's highly commendable, I must say. So we started talking about clarity. You know, if you remember very vividly, week 1, who you are. We moved into envisioning, goal setting, action planning. We had a lot of conversation about execution, and then in the last podcast I spoke about celebrating yourself. And today what we'll be talking about, to wrap up all the podcasts we've had right up till now, is who have you become? Who have you become? The principle of being, B-E-I-N-G. Who have you become on this journey you've had for about 8 weeks? What has become of you? What have you been able to do with yourself? What tangible improvement, results, outcomes, outputs can you see in your life? Who have you become in this process? We need to understand that we should learn to be before we do. I wrote this in a chapter in the book I wrote, my book on Grow. How that people rush to do before they become. So what happens is, when you try to do, just do, and you don't deliberately become in the process, you won't be able to repeat the results that you produce when you do. By that I mean, this is a very common example. When we were growing up in secondary school, we had friends, in fact, we had experiences of how, especially if you're in this part of the world, in Nigeria, how people are pushed to pass examination. I mean, their senior secondary school certificate examination. So parents look out for help centers that can support their children to make, you know, distinctions, high grades, when they write their senior secondary school certificate examination. When the students are helped, yes, they will have good grades, which is the result. But who did they become in the process of running through school? Who did they become? The reason why the education system is such that you have basic basic 7 to basic 9, SS1 senior secondary school from year 1 to year 3, is because they want to furnish you, equip you with the knowledge you need to be, so that you have the capacity to write this examination, the senior secondary school certificate examination, pass it successfully, and go into the higher institution and have the ability to, you know, go through the academic process in the higher institution. That's just it. The principle of being means you have built capacity for something, right? It means you have built capacity for something. So what these parents do not know is that now that I have pushed these children or these students into the higher institution, and now they are already in the higher institution, but they find it challenging because the system was such that you should, once you can, I mean, ideally, the system is such that once you can pass through this, you can write their entrance examination. They believe that you are sound and solid enough, you know, to run through the academic process or the rigorous process they are going to put you through in the higher institution. Yeah. So whoever has deliberately walked through this process, built capacity, read, learned, passed this examination by themselves, move into the school to a degree, they have a higher rate of or probability of being able to withstand the test of time when they get into school. This is just the principle of being. Do not just rush and say, oh, I just want to write the book. Then you just do, right? Pardon me. Then you release a book. Who did you become when you're writing that book? The person you become, what you picked up, what you learned, the capacity you built is what will give you the ability to write several and other books. Right? Don't just do things like, let's just do. Yes, it's good to do. And I know I've spoken a lot about the miracle of execution, learning by doing. But it's important for me to mention that. Who have you become in the process before you do? Because it is very easy to do when you have been. So, for example, you are a human being. B-E-I-N-G. You are not a human doing. You are a human being. So because you are a human being, you are able to produce or to do from the place of being. I can raise my leg up because I have the capacity to raise it up. I mean, as a human being who is, you know, healthy and has all parts of my body working well, yeah? I can blink my eyes because I am human and I have the capacity to do that if I'm not impaired. Do you understand? So it is very important that you be before you can do, so that things are not just mechanical. There's a change happening in you. So if you are, a practical example to use is, if you are learning to cook, you just want to cook something and serve people. But what I would say is, why not learn it, build the capacity to cook? Then it's easy. Not that you go to the kitchen every time and you're like, how would this food taste today? You're not just going to be surprised every time. You're able to replicate and improve on whatever it is you have been doing when you come from a place of being. Yeah? So I have to emphasize again, you are a human being, not a human doing. But because you're a human being, you have the ability to do from a place of being. From a place of being. So who have you become in this growth, on this growth journey? What capacities have you built? Have you built resilience? Have you built grit? Have you built self-love? What have you built on this journey? Yes, it's good. We are all excited and pumped about completing this 8-week growth program because, come on, it's not beans, but much more. Whatever you have learned, the capacity you have built, is it able to run you through another 8-week growth program, another 2 weeks growth program, another, do you understand? Like, what did you learn? Regardless of the fact that you might not be able to show up for a review, did you learn accountability? Yeah? Did you learn accountability to communicate when you're unable to show up, to show up when you should show up? All these things should not just be doing. They should be from a place of being. Sit down to say, the times I missed my reviews, the time I didn't read the book, what went wrong? What could I have done better? So when you get on another, which will be open, will be giving you access to soon, to join the growth club, or by this time already you should have had access, yeah, to join the book club, yeah, I beg your pardon, to join the book club. So what learnings have you picked up on this journey that ascertains and has given you capacity to run even in the future, to join a book club and be accountable as well, or you know, whatever group you want to join? Do you understand? So it is very important that you do things from a place of being. It is easier that way. It is easier for a dog to walk on its feet because it has four legs and is bent down to walk. But as humans, we are designed. That's what we are. The human being is designed to walk upright on two legs. So trying to walk like a dog is not convenient. That is what happens when you try to do. You get tired. In fact, it's not coming from a place of ability. So it's a struggle. So when you're trying to do things on your journey to execution, you want to do something, move things from ideas to execution, as important as the end point is so key, you should learn to pick up capacities, abilities on your journey to becoming. It is better to do things from a place of being. It is better to do things from a place of being. And I felt like if I didn't address this before the end of this growth program, I wouldn't have done justice to this growth program. Yeah, because whatever abilities, skills you have picked, or capabilities you have picked from here, is able to push you forward to even commit to more taskier growth journeys, more taskier growth programs, right? Because until you stretch, you know, you will learn about the principle of elasticity, something like that, during when we're reading the first book. Yeah, you have to stretch yourself. And the process of stretching yourself, you are becoming, you are being, you're not just doing, you are being something. You are stretched, and you have ability to do more. You have the ability to do more. You are becoming, right? I hope this has been so useful for you. I found this insight so useful, and I hope that it resonates with you very much. Thank you for, should I give a vote of thanks now? A big shout out to all our support coaches who, you know, stayed through, facilitated the podcast, all the podcast reviews. We love you very much, and we thank you very much for your time, your energy, your resources that you committed, you know, to for these amazing people in this growth program. We'll be having our round of sessions soon. This is not going to be the last, but I just feel like I can start the farewell process already. Thank you all for listening to this podcast, and as I always say, nothing changes until you change it. Nothing changes until you change it. Create the change you seek to see. Do not wait for change to happen in your life, in your environment. Create the change that you seek to see. It's been over 12 minutes of sharing amazing insight with you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.